Why the East Gate? This is where the sun rises, and with the sun's rising, it hails a new day, hails a new beginning. And with that beginning, we should make every effort to approach it with unconditionality. So once you go in, again, it is with intent. There is medicine to the right side of you. Break some of that off, just a symbolic gesture of it, and walk in, and as long as you can approach the fire in a good way. Yes, there are various formalities to approach it. However, we are here with open child heart innocence. So if you can just walk into that sacred portal with sacredness, you're doing fine. Give it a prayer. Give it and offer it to the sacred fire. The essence of the smoke symbolically raises it up into the celestial beings. We have to be in a place that's open and receiving so that those that visit us today will walk away grown and walk away healed and walk away with a consciousness that it's not just the indigenous people that are looking to make change. It's all the two-legged children of the Mother Earth that is desiring to allow for a clearing, a cleansing, a blessing that allows for the continued survival of all that is living. A beautiful day. Smile from your heart so that it can just give a nice little hug to the cloud people and move them to the side so that we can have the sun come in and toast us, warm us up, and give us a sense of true embrace.
Good morning. Yat eh. Yat eh shik ish.
A quick reminder, as you finish your dishes, return them back to the kitchen. We need to wash them and get them ready for the other eaters. Remember, with the trash, we have trash bags throughout the area, so utilize them. Even if it is not your trash and you see something laying out, we're trying our best today not to show to the people, but to show to this, the divine creator source, that in our unconditional love back, we are keeping the area as pristine as possible.
Yeah, keep Mother Earth beautiful.
For those that would like to, in our tradition, our tribe is known for doing facial painting. Ancestrally, they were a tattooing tribe. And this allowed for marks to be made on the body being that allowed for them to have this essence of ascension spiritually so that they could have a direct communique with divine source. So this ochre is what is called in English, is used. There's a small container that is right here on the right side on the blanket. We welcome anyone and everyone to come in and open it and take a little dab of that and put it wherever you feel is appropriate for you. One of the things that we've always done as a ceremonial gesture is if you can open yourself and have that chest showing, put a small dot over the heart area. Symbolically, this becomes a heart piercing for you so that you are in receivership of everything that is coming through today. There's so much that we're here to do and here to share with each other. Greetings is always important to begin the day, and that greeting begins right with that first ray of the sun coming out off on the horizon. I'm going to start with our agenda this morning, just a quick welcome and thank you for being in such a good place, and I will ask you to continue this joy within your hearts for the remainder of the day and on into tomorrow, and as you go out into your sacred quadrants of the world when you leave this weekend, remember all of this that you're feeling this weekend to your heart and share that with all those that are around you. Welcome. And now I'd like to introduce one of our council people within the Havasupai. This young lady has been very forefront with so much work on behalf of the Havasupai Nation and continues to do so, and has, with her help and her support and her being, we have had the voice go out globally. So for all of you that are out there that aren't aware of our sister, council person, cousin, this is Carletta Talusi, member of the Havasupai tribe. So let's give her a big round of applause, and she's gonna give our welcoming this morning.
Kamiche. Kamiche. Hey, good morning. Hello, how are you? Kamiche. All right, I want to hear it. Red Butte 2018, come on, wake up. We are here for a reason. We are here to celebrate Mother Earth. We are here to protect the water. We're not here just to party and hang out and look at each other. We're here for this mountain right here, over here. We were taught at a young age to come here, and pay respects to our ancestors that were buried around here. There's a lot of our ancestors buried around here. There's a lot of abandoned archaeological sites here. There are many, many ancient trails in this area. And please, pick up your garbage. Please, take care of one another. Watch out for one another. Right now, we have a big community here from all over the country, all over Arizona. And we have asked some of our neighboring tribes to come and dance for us. And not just for us. It's for this land. It's for this mountain. It's for the animals that roam here, that we leave whatever we say here, whatever we sing here. The dances that we have are for here. It's not for show. It's not for, you know, bringing popularity to yourself. It's for healing. And that was the message that I was asked to give by the elders to all of you, that this dance, these songs that are going to be happening today, is for this land. And please take that blessing and that enjoyment back home to your families, because we're going to go back to the same struggles. We're going to go back to the same challenges again. But here, when you're here, enjoy yourself. Love one another. Respect one another. Please try to not be negative here, because this is not what our ancestors did here. They came here in a good way, in a good way. That's why we are here. We were taught long time ago to come back to this mountain every year, and we've been doing it. Just wanted to say a few things. It's been a long struggle for the Havasupai tribe. First time I ever heard about uranium was when I was 14 years old, and I was standing here. And we didn't have a big tent like this. We just had a real little one, just a few Havasupai people. And one of my elders got up and spoke at a bonfire. We didn't have spotlights. We didn't have microphones. It was just bonfire and a little tent and a few of us. And we all came together and we decided that to keep coming back here, since this is our original territory. Don't stay on your reservations. Go back to your sacred sites. Go back and do these ceremonies, even though they may be on federal land. Go back and lay ownership. That's why we're here. The Forest Service don't like it that we're here, but we're here. So just you being here makes a stand of all the fights that our ancestors have went through. So just remember that. You are a part of history today. You are a part of history, and that your children remember it. These little ones right here, they're going to remember it, just like I did when I was 14 years old. And so now it's been majority of my lifetime that we've been fighting uranium. And through the guidance of the elders, through the women and the men, there's a lot of people here that have contributed to this gathering. It's not just me or Daly or Jimmy or anybody. It's everybody that came, even the workers that came here before any of you showed up, the woodcutters, the food workers, all the volunteers that came made this happen. So I just want everybody to clap right now for everybody that made this happen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to end by saying a couple of things. We had a small victory. A lot of you have heard it and read about it in the newspaper. We have been filing lawsuits for years. Our small little tribe. We're not a gaming tribe. We don't have that much money. But we stuck to the fight as our ancestors wanted us to do. And we fought and lobbied to DC. We have a council members that are in the crowd somewhere. They went to DC and they lobbied congressional people over and over again, and we kept saying the same thing over and over again, and it got so tiresome, but we kept at it. And every time we travel, it was very hard for us to travel. We were hungry, we were tired, sometimes we didn't have enough money, but we kept it up. And that's why we won that small victory at the United States Supreme Court. Did not want to hear the case to stop no new uranium mines. Woo! No new uranium mines on federal land. Yeah.
Yep, Supai land.
Supai land. Yes. So that means a lot. That means that international mining companies cannot come here and start mining or staking uranium claims and doing exploratory drilling. There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of uranium claims on the North Rim, on the South Rim, and we're sitting on one right now. So just keep in mind that everybody that contributed is a part of that victory, is a part of that voice. So let's keep it up. This doesn't mean we go home and go to sleep and have coffee and forget about it. No, this means we regroup and we get back together. Just like this march here. It was cold. It was long. It was very hard for the walkers to get there, but they were determined and they made it out there. And some of them made it back with pride and dignity. That's what the struggle is about. It's about putting your voice out there, putting your face out there, and standing out for the rights of all indigenous people. That's what it's about. And that's what we did this morning. I want to thank all the marchers. Thank you so much, marchers. You guys did great.
All right.
Really, really appreciate everybody getting up and joining us for the march. But on behalf of the Havasupai Tribal Council, thank you so much for all coming here and supporting us. Enjoy one another. Enjoy the fire. Enjoy yourselves, because you deserve it. You all deserve this victory. So we are going to celebrate. This is one of the small steps of celebrating, but we got to go home and continue the fight. Okay, so we got a good lineup of dancers, a good lineup of speakers, and I just ask one thing. Pick up your trash. There's trash cans all over the place. And I ask you another thing is keep your prayers going. We have a sacred fire over there. We need help with the fire. Men that can help the young men over there that are put on the fire. Don't just sit around. That you're not a part of the movement when you're sitting around. You got to give something. We're not here entertaining you. We're not here to entertain you. Contribute, go cut wood. Go help at the kitchen. Go do something. Contribute. That's what the movement is about. Everybody joining together as a voice and helping one another. So that's what we're here to do today. I'm very honored to be one of your tribal council members. As soon as I finished college, my elders and people told me to go back home and help the tribe. And without your support and you all standing next to me, I wouldn't be here speaking before you. And I accept everyone's blessing and support, and that's the way we're going to keep moving forward, to protect the water, to protect Havasu Falls, to protect our canyon home, and for all the people that are living downstream. That's why we're doing what we're doing today. So have a wonderful day, have a blessed day, and now it's my honor to announce one of my good friends who's also a colleague of mine. Actually, Jimmy, my MC, but I just want to thank you. I'm really, really happy. Just so happy to have my elders here. And I also want to say that never forget the folks that have passed on. And I did this dedication the first day we were here. We had a group of elders that used to sit right here, but they're no longer with us. But they're probably with us in spirit. Let's say that. And I'm going to name them all. And I'm going to name all the work that they did. And they didn't ask for money from the tribe. They saved their own money. And they traveled. And they spoke on behalf of the tribe. And I cannot forget them. And I want you to clap when I say their name. Because I know they're here. And they're very proud of us. And the first one that comes to mind is Alberta Manikaja. Woo! And her husband, Stanley Manikaja. Woo! And my dear friend, Josie Steele Ukwala. Woo! And we just lost Daniel Kaska in January. They were the ones that really led the fight, and they were the ones that really pushed every one of us, including the council, to keep protecting this land. They're the ones that worked so hard to declare this area as a traditional cultural property site. We're one of the tribes that made this happen on Federal Forest Service land, a huge amount of land as a traditional cultural property site. So you all are welcome to come back here and do your ceremonies. This is just not for Havasu Pai, it's for all the tribes. If you have a ceremony that you want to do here, it's open to you. That's what we were told. So Hangyu, thank you for recognizing my past elders, and appreciate every one of you, and have a great day. Hangyu, mam hangyucha, ay, hamokya.
Brothers and sisters, Carletta Talusi, Tribal Council Member for the Havasu Pai Tribe. Hanke, Carletta.
Okay, is Richard Gray Mountain here? Or is he still saddling up that horse?
My name's Richard Gray Mountain. I'm with the San Juan Southern Paiute Tribe, North Area Tribal Council. And I do believe I have one of our tribal council, Councilwoman Tashina Williams, if you could stand, please. Let's give her a round of applause for joining us. I was here last year and was given the opportunity to speak on my behalf and on behalf of the San Juan Southern Paiute Tribe. And now I'm getting the tribal council to come over and including them with the gatherings that you guys are hosting and sponsoring. So thank you. I'm in great support with Havasu Pai, what Carletta's been putting together, as well as her tribal council. Colleen, thank you. I'm very fortunate and very obliged to be with you guys and, you know, celebrate these commemorations and going forward and being with you guys, especially the elderlies that are here with us right now. I would like to give them a round of applause if you could, with our elderlies being here, passing on the cultures and traditions. I would like to thank the elderlies. Good blessings to them, and let's go on, move on forward with them in support of the no uranium mining, no haul. You know, we don't need uranium around us. We don't need to disturb the environment. That's what my main focus is. Yesterday, I was talking to one of our spiritual leaders, the one that I'm learning from, my uncle. I was talking to him, and I was asking him why this weather, the hurricanes, these waters are misbehaving. I was asking him that, and he goes, well, nature's law is looked over. We never look at nature's law no more. We just look at white man's law. White man's law is overruling nature's law. That's the reason why the spiritual beings, the elements, are starting to get mad at us. So we need to get back into our traditions, our cultural backgrounds. So I strongly support the Havasupai in, you know, these gatherings. So on behalf of that, you know, being with you guys and in support of you guys, I would like to do a little ceremony with our waters. I think that Carletta brought some water from Supai. I brought some water from Southern Utah, from Paiute Mountain. And I would like to do a little ceremony with the waters and, you know, help out you guys and be in support of you guys with the no uranium mining, no future uranium mining, or anything else with our nature. Let's get back into balance of our nature. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you. Wallapai, Supai, you know, thank you. Thank you for all that you guys are doing, and I'm in support of what you guys are doing. Thank you. Dawayak.
Thank you, Richard. This is Richard Gray Mountain, and as he said, of the San Juan Southern Paiute Tribe. Let's give him a big round of applause. While we have this moment, I'm going to just do a quick little reminder. We've got on call here the Cibecue Creek Youth Apache Crown Dancers. You will be up next, so get ready for your entrance. After that, then we'll have the Tonatera Azteca Danza Group. And right after that, we had scheduled the Havasupai Guardians, but they're going to be coming in at the 1 o'clock hour. So once we finish with the Azteca Danza Group, we're going to be doing some circle dances, round dances in celebration with our ancestors that are present today. In moments where we are at a loss and it seems that there's silence, we've got to remember, as two-leggeds, we are responsible to the maintenance and the well-being of our earth walks. So I want you to remember, we're making every effort to change in a way that's going to reflect the traditions, the cultures, the spirituality of all earth-born tribes. And if you're ever called to be in a place of song, dance, be ready always. Creator Source doesn't allow for the sun to rise whenever it wants to. It has a cycle. They are the great teachers. Therefore, we cannot claim anything other than we've got spirit to guide us. And when you are called, be in the ready. I hear the bells coming, and that's the sounds of spirits that are in joy and in happiness. And as I hear that, I'm going to go right back into the introduction of this particular troop. These are the Cibecu Creek Youth Apache Crown Dancers. Takote. There's beauty in this day. Whatever you witness, know that we are constantly, for every day in our earth walk, we are continually learning. So know that when you are in the witness of teachings, it also has a vibrational effect on each and every one of us. And the fact that these are young children brings joy to me as well as joy to this divine creator source. They are going to be these great leaders that are coming. And as long as they keep it in connection with this Mother Earth, we are guaranteed that the teachings of spirit, culture, and traditions are guaranteed.
Good morning. I believe it's still morning here. And today we have the crown dancers here. I told her, I'm going to have you put a stone down, just the way they put a stone down to the medicine men on our reservation. And that's what she did. And so I blessed these girls, the boys, and I blessed the ground here. And they're going to be praying for it. I talked to them about it. And they're going to be praying for the mountain. And I told them to pray for everybody here. Okay, the first dance we're going to do is the Apache Pollen Dance. In the Apache way, we always pray with the pollen. It's the same as anointing oil, the way they pray in the Christian way. We use the pollen because the kind of pollen we use is the cattail pollen, which grows in our ponds and our reservation. Like we all say as Native Americans, water is life. And so we use that pollen to pray with also. And so that's what I just blessed them with. And then talk to them a little, say a prayer for everybody here and for the mountain. You know, have a whole lot of respect for Mother Earth, for what she provides for us every day in our lives. And so I told them they're going to do a massaging of Mother Earth, giving thanks. It's called the Apache Pollen Dance.
So, there's no place for you to go. That's what we told Canyon Mine. Canyon Mine, you got to go. Canyon Mine, you got to go. We don't want you anymore. We don't want you anymore. At Red Butte, the nation stand with the water and for the land. Canyon Mine, you got to go. So all of these things you all know, we have always known it. The thing is what we say now, relative. This morning we start a prayer and we call upon the seven powers. We call upon the pointed star and the seven powers. When we got to the mind, we reminded again. The seven powers, the honor was told to honor this way of life. And now when we return here again, we remind it again. We have seven stars. We have a clan up there. It call it the Miak, they call it the Tiangis. Like this, when they come together, they form a family, they form a generation, they form a moment like we're going to do right now. We're going to bring that constellation here. We're going to call upon them to come and be part of this gathering. They do that all the time. They're doing it all the time. It's just that sometimes it becomes more evident, like a sunrise. The sun is always there shining, but at the sunrise, at certain times, four times of the year, like that. We're putting all that back together. It's going to be a weave. It's going to be a loom. And it's the Creator who's making that design. Father Sky, Mother Earth. It's the loom of our generation. On there, we're going to make a design. For us today, that's what we're having to offer. The Mexicayo, the way of life of those of us who come from the South. We also have the story, the legend of the seven caves, the seven stars, the seven caves. In us, it ties together. In us, it ties together when they tell us about it. Those seven caves are right here in this canyon. When they talk about when we became to, it was an ocean of a lot of sea. It was a lot of emergency. Like right now, it's an emergency. We have to come out of this situation. Otherwise, the younger generations coming after us, they're not going to be able to reach where they got to be. We got to struggle to get to emerge. The emergency is upon us. We're going to call upon it. We're going to bring it close as we can. We're going to stretch to that way too. We're going to make a journey with these dances to that time when they emerge from the seven caves, the Chicomostoc, when they look down upon from the Confederacy of the Seven Stars and met all of us again, each one of us again, the relatives and the nations of the original nations of Mother Earth. Nekanono Toka Tupac, Enrique Acosta, Yautashka, Tatokano, Kalis Kaloteka. Y mi totalitri hueve coyo.
With basket dancers, and I just wanted to say that I'm glad you all came. And I'm glad for your support in our whole uranium mining epidemic that's happening right now. It's been going on since before I was born, and now I'm here and I'm a part of this fight for no uranium mining. I hope I don't see it continue for long, but you know, that's all I can say right now. Havasu Pai Youth Basket Dancers, Mahangya.
I'm gonna sing, bring you guys in.
Yeah.
Earl Tooley.
I want to share a couple of items with you in regards to what we're talking about as far as ceremony. And what I would like to say is very dear to my heart. There should be nobody within the sound of my voice that is abusing a fellow five-finger person. That abuse could be because of various reasons. And I want to share with you, when we call ourselves Dene, Dene means living, anything that is living. And we called ourselves the five-fingered ones. The five-fingered ones represents who I am. The thumb is I, the thumb is me. Against the other four fingers, I'm the shortest. This pointing finger here is my physical surrounding. My physical surrounding tells me that if I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm cold, then I stand next to the fire. This middle finger here is the one that eats at us the most. That is our mental. We shouldn't have said that. We shouldn't have done that. That eats at us. Once the words leave our mouth, we can't retrieve it. Now, this ring finger is our social surroundings. That's who we come together with. All of us that are here, we have a common interest, and that is Mother Earth. You've heard your mama say, if you're going to hang out with Billy, you're going to turn out like Billy. If you hang out with Sally, you're going to turn out like Sally. This last finger here, the pinky finger, if you put them and touch them with your thumb, your being, they're virtually the same size. That is your spiritual being. Now, these gaps in between your fingers, the thumb and the pointing finger, that's your infancy. And that next one is right at your adolescence, your adulthood, and your old age. We've been listening and hearing the wind. If you take a look at your thumbprint or your fingerprints, you'll see the swirls. We believe that we are part of the wind people. When we leave, we will be part of the wind people. So we feel the wind. Those are the spirits that have gone on before. They're letting us know that they're part of this celebration, that they're part of us, those that were once here. As Carletta had mentioned, that this is where a number of the ancestors have been replanted. So, who did we come from? These white shells at the tip of our fingers. We say that we came from white shell woman. That's why we have white shells at the tip of our fingers. And that's something that is important for us to understand and appreciate. Now, I had mentioned early on that abuse is here. I want to share with you that in a number of our various families, we have twin spirits. And we have to recognize the twin spirits. And we have to give them honor because they are part of the Five Finger Clan. And our children are blended now. Our children come from various cultures and traditions. And that's something for us to share with one another. As we begin to share, we will find out that we have a common interest. So when we greet one another and we greet the world out there, it is to say that we are part of the wind people. So we have to give that respect to them. Now, the other portion of what I would like to share with you is this. If we are out to talk on Mother Earth, about Mother Earth, and protect Mother Earth, if we save the world but lose our family in the process, what have we gained? If we go out and protect Mother Earth and we save our environment, and in the process we lose our family, we lose our children, we lose ourselves and our identification, then what have we really, really gained? The languages that we do have, oftentimes we share with one another the various words and the various language that we do have in sharing. And one of the common words that we hear in Navajo is Yat'e. Yat'e means, Ya means the blue sky. At'e means that's what it is. So this is the fourth world that we're living in. We believe that there is no death, only a change of worlds. So those ancestors that have gone on, you can feel them as they ride their whirlwind horses by. We can feel them. And so that's something that is important for us to understand. Now, I'm in my 60th winter here on this Mother Earth, 60 years. Carletta had mentioned that she was part of the movement when she first heard, when she was at the age of 14. And that's something for us to continue to remember. It is important for us to share our particular knowledge with our children, because they are the seeds that will carry our tradition, our way of life, and the principles that we believe in. They are going to be our messengers in the days to come. And I want to close my remarks by sharing with you this. The Five Finger Clan that I had mentioned to you, our people were spiritual people, and we have to keep the home fires burning. We as men need to step forth and begin to protect our families. We as men need to fulfill our responsibilities as fathers and caretakers. We have to acknowledge and give credence to the women folks and let them know that they are our companions. But I did mention that we have twin spirits, two-spirited brothers and sisters as well. We have to embrace them. In doing so, we will be able to do that which is our responsibility in taking care of the Five Finger Clan members. As spiritual people, our people would go high into the mountaintops and make offerings of white shell, turquoise, abalone, and jet, calling forth the rains and all the other good things for the survival of our people. So we need to rekindle that fire at our home place so that we can keep this spirit alive. We don't know what's going to be coming in the days to come forth, but I can tell you this. We can grasp the Western knowledge, and we can take our traditional knowledge. Where they merge is where we will find peace. Our young children, our young brothers and sisters are educating themselves. It's important that we begin to do that and embrace and begin to articulate that which our ancestors have given us in a scientific format. Because one thing that we will know for sure, where science ends, the natural law takes over. So I am very, very fortunate to be here with you and to be able to participate and to engage and to listen to the many other songs that have come forth and in some of the words. And Rex had mentioned in his particular songs as to how sacred our blood is. And thank you very much for listening to me, and hopefully we can come together again in this circle with many other victories. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Earl.
I also want to acknowledge Robert Brunig, who was here, or who is here, with his class. So I'm really happy that there are people that are in the educational institutions that are allowing for their classes to come out into settings and arenas like this. I would like to actually call Mr. Robert Brunig and his students up here so they can line up in front and have Robert say a little bit of something about why they are here. I want you to look at these young people, the young faces. What we have been discussing all along is that we are in time of great change. These are the ones that are going to be continuing all the leadership. So as long as we can allow for them to be in a welcomed embrace of ceremony and tradition and culture, we are assured that as they step into positions of leadership, as well as you stepping into your places of leadership, that the culture, tradition, and spirituality will survive. So this is Robert Brunig's class, and Robert, your microphone is right below here, so if you'd like to say a word or two, please.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and we didn't quite expect this opportunity to say hello, but here we are. And let me just say, for us, all of us who are here visiting with you today, it is a great honor. We feel tremendous respect for the Havasupai people and all the Native people that are here, and for their ground, their territory, their place. And we just feel good to be here. And we're learning a lot, and we're very, very happy. So thank you, James, and thank you for all your hospitality. Thank you.
Again, brothers, sisters, let's give them a big round of applause, and thank you, all of you, for being here today, and thank you for sharing. Blessings. Leona Morgan and Ian Zabarty.
My name is Leona Morgan, and I work with a group called Hall No. And I just want to acknowledge, Hall No. So Sarana Riggs is also in our group, and I think a lot of you know her. Yep, Sarana did a lot of work here. And our other group member is Klee Benali, who is not with us here today, but we're the three of us. We started this thing really in support of the work that is being done to stop Canyon Mine. And we launched Hall No on the day of the court case that happened December 15th, 2016. So really in support of your fight as Havasupai folks working to protect your communities, Red Butte, and the water. And so our group, Hall No, we say, stop Canyon Mine and stop White Mesa Mill. And so we're dealing with the transport in the middle. And so we're really here just to support this event. We're very happy to be here. Thank you for letting me speak. And Hall No is going to host a training. We're doing a radiation monitoring training at the end of this month. And we have space for some folks from Havasupai to attend. We have some folks from White Mesa Mill who will be coming. We have some Diné folks. I believe one person from Hopi and several folks from Flagstaff and Western Shoshone. So if anyone is interested in learning about radiation, the impacts to our human health, and how to monitor it, we have Geiger counters that we're willing to let folks borrow, granted that you will use it to monitor radiation in the communities, because we want to make sure to document the background levels of radiation before any contamination happens, if it ever does. We don't think it will, because the price of uranium is so low. We don't think the Canyon Mine will ever start, but it's really important to understand the environment and the actual background levels of radiation. So if you're interested, I'm sitting at the table there. I have some application forms specifically for people from Havasupai, and it'll be October 27th and 28th. So we'll be in Flagstaff on the 27th, and then we're going to do a site visit on the 28th to Cameron, Arizona, to do some monitoring around the area there. So that's all I wanted to say, and I want to say thank you very much to each of you for being here. And I was really honored to be a part of the event last year. We had a camp over there, and we're still working on fighting the transport. Serena and I did several presentations to our tribe, to the Navajo Nation, the vice president, to the Law and Order Committee, and as well as the Diné Uranium Remediation Advisory Commission. So our group, we're still fighting the transport, and this is transport of uranium ore, as you all know, and Hall No is also doing some education on transport of high-level radioactive waste, because there's proposals to bring waste from all of the nuclear power plants in the country to New Mexico. And so this is something where we want to fight as well, because that would be on the railroad that goes right through this area just south of here. So thank you, everyone, and I'm going to hand the mic over to Ian Zabarty now. If anyone's interested in radiation monitoring, please talk to me. Thank you. Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Ian Zabarty. I'm the principal man for the Western Bands of the Shoshone Nation of Indians. Under the 1863 Treaty of Ruby Valley, Chief Raymond Yowell is my chief. On the agenda, it says Western Shoshone National Council. We don't have that government anymore. It was taken over by subversives. But we continue to endure, and I bear the mantle of sovereignty for the Western Bands of the Shoshone Nation of Indians. I've been involved with protecting Sioux Pai land since I met Carletta in 1992, I believe, at the World Uranium Hearings in Salzburg, Austria. Rex Talusi was there as well, and we've been working on nuclear issues since. Guardians of the Grand Canyon, you may recall you came to Yucca Mountain in 1997. That was a long way for you, but we appreciate your coming there. We're going to do another Yucca Mountain gathering in March of this year. My involvement in nuclear issues comes from the experience of my family dying from radiation exposure to United States and United Kingdom testing of weapons of mass destruction in Shoshone country. This is a treaty violation. The United States came in secret with the military, removed our people, and began detonating their bombs. My family died. When I returned to the reservation after, well, every summer we're on the reservation, but I grew up in California, Northern California, during the school year. But every summer we were on the reservation. So on the one hand, we had electricity. On the reservation, no electricity. On one hand, we had wood floors in the house. On the reservation, no bathroom, some dirt floors. We took our bass out in the creek or in the hot spring, and we used the outhouse, right? Isn't that the way it's done? Anyway, I started to realize that the bombs were killing my people, and I needed to look into this. It was so hard during that time in the 80s that many of the people didn't want to go back and look at that. But that is our first exposure to radiation. And when I say ours, we are all downwinders. Across this continent, the fallout came. It's only 150 miles away. That's the first exposure we all had. The mine, uranium tailings, fracking, coal ash in coal-fired power plants. Those are all additional exposures. Going to the dentist, going to the doctor, flying in an airplane. Those are additional exposures to the first exposure we all had from the fallout. We looked at these things and started to question whether our food was healthy in the early 90s. We looked at our food, we found out that because of lifestyle differences, our exposure was greater than the non-native population, and the government wasn't looking at these things. This is the basis for one of our contentions in the Atomic Safety Licensing Board of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to prevent Yucca Mountain from happening. We stated that the Department of Energy didn't look at our people and assess the risk of exposure to us appropriately based on lifestyle differences. Diet, what we ate, how we prepared our food, and how much of it we ate. Shelter, where our houses were and what they were made of. And like I said, we had dirt floors and holes in the walls, and the wind came right through. My aunts and uncles played in the fallout. It was like snow, and they played in it. But it just didn't stop there. It went across the continent. North Dakota has some of the highest fallout Kansas has high fallout. Southern Idaho has high fallout. Utah, Colorado, New Mexico. It went across the continent. I was a rancher 35 years ago. I had horses. We gave the horses to the Sioux Nation of Indians. You know how much they love horses. You've heard of horse whisperers. Those are things we did long before the non-natives showed up. We were removing our horses, but the Bureau of Land Management blamed us for the destruction of the range because they said we were overgrazing when they're detonating bombs that are killing the delicate flora and fauna. That's what happened, but they blamed us. They're liars and they're thieves, and they're stealing from us and they're stealing from our future generations, and I'm not gonna let that happen. It has to stop. The problem we're facing is very difficult. These are people who only concern themselves with one thing, making money. So we're gonna be vigilant on the canyon mine and protecting the entire canyon because there are threats and they're just not here. I was successful in getting the coal-fired power plant in Moapa shut down. Because of our past exposure to radiation and fallout from U.S. weapons testing, we can't endure any increased burden of risk from any source, including coal ash from Moapa, which is 90 miles away. It's the number one contributor, was the number one contributor to regional haze, but we got it shut down in Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas, because of the uranium in the coal ash. So we need to understand that our first exposure is from the fallout, and every other exposure is cumulative. It adds to it. The more exposure you get, the more cancer you're going to get. And that's where we have to start. So I hope you all come to the training in Flagstaff. I like to tell better stories, so I'll tell you one. I was riding with my elder in Death Valley, Timba Shoshone in Death Valley, and we're riding to the test site, and we're talking about the animals, you know, what's happening to our deer and our antelope and our jackrabbits, and we're noticing that they have deformities and tumors and such. And as we're driving to go to Yucca Mountain, where they wanted to store high-level nuclear waste, 77,000 metric tons, the van driver starts honking the horn and he starts slowing down. And we notice that there's deer in the road, and the van driver, just a white guy, he's honking a horn and the deer's not moving at 9 o'clock. So my elder says, stop that. I wanna get out and see. So we got out and we got closer to the deer and we found that the deer had no eyes. You know what Shoshone call a deer with no eyes? No idea. Okay. So I just wanted to leave you that, you know, it's funnier when you have 3,000 people because half of them are scared and the other half are laughing so hard and wondering why y'all. Anyway, we're gonna have several events coming up. In January, we'll be having a Native American forum on nuclear issues. This is a more of a technical kind of thing. I share the kind of information I just gave you, but in much more detail. We deal with the entire nuclear fuel chain from uranium mining to processing, fracking, coal ash. This is how we stop those things, because of our past exposure. Fracking releases uranium in the ground. Coal ash, coal mining releases uranium in the ground. Fracking, these are the things we need to address. The enduring purpose of nuclear technology is the production of weapons of mass destruction, and that's especially the subject that I have to attend to. And I appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to me and coming up to speed on these issues, because it's going to be around for quite a while, and we need to address these as well as we can for ourselves and our future generations. January, our forum on nuclear issues, it'll be about this time in January. Then in March of 2019, we'll have our Yucca Mountain spring gathering. And it's not going to be cold. It'll be warm, so please come. It's the desert out there. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ian Sabarty and Leona Morgan. Thank you. Let's give them a big round of applause. Lots of good information. Right. Brothers, sisters, another brother is going to share with us this evening. Welcome, Ed Cabote. a member, Hopi Havasupai Clara Pueblo. Please welcome Ed with a big round of applause.
Miagin dinavik emaing o huaping ang umu kwari arik eato a kapo wing yari sumopavi with it. Miagin di kwidovi e sidovi e meme ing ko o ing enye ing. My name is Ed Kabori. I'm from the Hopi village of Songopave, the Tewa village of Kapo'owinge, aka Santa Clara Pueblo. And it's really a blessing to me to be here with you guys. I really admire the fight that the Havasupai Nation has led in this fight against uranium mining. And I'm very grateful. I'm very honored to be here. The first song that I sang was really a song about the land. It was sung in Tewa, and it's a song really about my homeland, but it applies here because, you know, all of the mountains and all of the grace and the beauty that surrounds us, it lends to us its spirit, you know, to give us its virtue. And then the last song that I played was really an acknowledgement of what was already said about the blood of the ancestors. And that being here, you know, made me feel like this is a very sacred place, you know, in very many ways. And so that was for them. This next song that I'm gonna sing, I sang Thursday night to the folks, and this is a song by the Native American Motown band, Exit. You guys remember them? Anybody remember Exit? All right, cool. That's what I thought. Anyway, this song is a song called Someday. It was on the first album, Plight of the Red Man. Plight of the Red Man, really, I mean, that 8-track, it was 8-track back then, that album, you know, that really could be the soundtrack for the Havasupai Nation in a lot of ways, because it talks about the coming of the white man. It talks about the industrial mining issues. It talks about the boarding school experience. It talks about the relocation issues. And yet at the end, it also points out that, you know what, in the midst of all of this, we're a spiritual people and we'll rise above, you know, because not from us, but again, by the virtues that are represented in the lands, by the spirit that the Creator gave us, you know. There's in our hearts, all of us, no matter where we come from, there's in our hearts hidden knowledge that if we would acknowledge it in humility, it's still there. And so this is a tune to me that is really pointing that out to us. This is a song called Someday. Thank you. the battle, it is not over. Yes, our struggle has begun. A new hope, it has been born, and a sunny day will come. Ea, ela. Ea, ela. Ea, ela. Ea, ela. Ea, ela. Ea, ela. Ea, ela.